spread of the gospel is what we're talking about, and praying for the proclaimers of the word. So we'll start out this morning by reading Luke 10, 1 and 2. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day you have given us to worship and serve you. We thank you for all men and women that you have serving you around the world, proclaiming your word and trying to spread it to others less fortunate than us. We pray that you will always be with these teachers and give them strength, knowledge, and comfort in their work. We pray that they might bring many more Christians to serve you. We pray that in our daily prayers, we might always think of these workers and give them praise for the work they are trying to do in hard places. And Father, we also pray that if and when we have the opportunities to support these brothers and sisters in your work, that we will do so gladly, that they might be strengthened and comforted in the work to build your kingdom. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Luke 10, beginning in verse 3 again. Jesus said, "Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter first, say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. And I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. "And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak."
Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for all the brethren that have the knowledge and the skill to preach your word. Father, we ask that you be with those preachers in our local communities, be with Josh here, and be with others and other communities as they preach the gospel and proclaim your word. And we pray that you are always with them and keep them speaking the truth and so that the truth is spoken, and we as individuals can search your scriptures as well and see that everything spoken is the true word of God, and that we will live by that. Father, we are so happy that we live and blessed that we live in this world, and we thank you that we can worship you without fear of molestation or fear of any hindrance of any kind. But unfortunately, Father, that's not true in other countries that some of our brethren go to as they serve you. They go and preach your word, and we ask that, Father, when they are there in these countries that prohibit sometimes the word of God spoken or even a Bible in their presence, we pray that you'll be with them and protect them from harm and let them figure out a way that they can preach your word and teach others so that all may be saved that desire to come to you and hear your word. Father, we also pray for their families that are back home when they do these things, that you'll be with them as well and keep them safe from harm. And Father, we just give all the praise and glory for you that we have your word, that Jesus died for each and every one of us, and that we have your Bible that we can go by and dedicate, try to our best to emulate you and to dedicate our lives to you. So, Father, just please be with all of us as we try to learn, and especially those who are out there teaching and preaching your word, that you will keep them safe and that they may do a job that would be well-pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mark 16:15-16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Colossians 1:23-29. "If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed to all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the ministry which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to all saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ to you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me."
Romans chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. "For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And thus I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so very thankful for the opportunity that we have been given to be saved from our sins through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we are thankful, dear Lord, for the fact that you have clearly communicated to us through your word this good news, that we can be saved, that we can be redeemed, that we can be forgiven. And we thank you, dear Lord, for that great and wonderful gift that you have given to us. But Lord, we are also thankful that this gift is not limited only to us. That is, that you did not send your Son to die only for a select few, but that you sent your Son to die for the sins of all the world. And furthermore, you have seen fit to share this message of salvation with all of the world. And anyone who would listen to it and submit themselves to it could receive that free gift that you offer to them. We thank you, dear Lord, that you do not judge us based on our appearances, that you don't see us for how we look on the outside, the color of our skin, or the clothes that we wear, our wealth, our physical, economical status. And it doesn't matter where we have come from or who our parents were, but that you look at our hearts and that you value us based upon our eternal soul that you have given to us. And so that even from a physical standpoint, from a worldly carnal standpoint, we may feel absolutely worthless and of no value and of no importance. We thank you, God, that you value us and that you see the value of us on the inside. And we're thankful, dear Lord, that you so freely share your blessings and your love with everyone. And we thank you that the gospel indeed is for all, and that whosoever will can come to you and be washed clean of their sins and be adopted into your family and be a son or a daughter of God. We thank you so much for that great blessing. We thank you for your plan, and we thank you for your gospel that shares that plan with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Philippians 1, 12 through 14. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear.
Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 30. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders to take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus.
Acts 14:27. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Acts 16:14. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time, and we would ask you, dear Lord, that you would open up doors for the gospel. We pray, dear Lord, that you would work in the lives of individuals, in the lives of those whom we know and whom we're close to. We pray, Lord, that you would use us as instruments to work in their lives that would soften their hearts, that would open their hearts up to be receptive to your word and to your message. We know, dear Lord, that oftentimes you use us as the ones to open these doors. And we pray, Lord, that you would use us, that we would be good examples and shining lights to those around us, that we would be salt that brings a preserving flavor to the world around us, and that through our example and through our efforts to live in a way that is pleasing to you, that would draw people's attention to you, and that doors would be open that we can share the message of the gospel with them, so that we can share with them the hope that we have of salvation and the hope that we have of eternal life. There are so many people, dear Lord, in the world who are lost, who know nothing of you, or have been misguided and led astray, and we pray, Lord, that you would open their hearts to the truth. But we also know, dear Lord, that there are those who have at one point committed their lives to you, but for whatever reason, whether that is because of temptation to sin or because of the worries and concerns of the world or because they just never grew in their faith, they have fallen away from you, Lord, and we pray that you would open the door of their heart as well, that they would be pricked, that they would be remorseful for their abandonment of you with a godly sorrow that would lead them to repent and change their ways, to change the way they think. And we know, Lord, that the door is always open for those who would come to you. We pray, Lord, that we would see those doors, take advantage of them. We know that you are powerful, dear Lord, and that when you open, no one can shut. And we just ask you to open up doors for the progress of the gospel. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Acts 8:4. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philippians 1, starting in verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment is caused of Christ in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole praetorium guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Romans 10:11-17. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the gospel, the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ.
Let us pray. Our dear heavenly, loving, gracious, and all-powerful Father, we come to you now in such sincerity and thanks that first you have cleared the way have opened the path, have led us to be able to open the closed door to our hearts and let you in. We first, those of us who have answered the call personally, ask that you would help us in our growth, ask that you would help us to understand, become more thoughtful, become more knowledgeable, to just draw closer to you, to become the children that you would have us to be, thereby being the example to the rest of the world what this wonderful relationship can mean. Father, we know that often we disappoint you. We are sorry for that. We know that we in many ways continue to sin. We know that you are sorry for that. We know that we are comforted by the fact that you are always there to pick us up, revive us, renew us, point us to your word, hopefully in a spirit of continued growth. We really do try and understand in our minds, Lord, that we should grow to accept all of the trials and troubles that we are beset, that are set upon us. We know that deep down we should see all things as joy. We know that that is so hard to do sometimes. Father, but since we have opened the door to our heart first, we now and ask for your help to pick up the call, to heed the call, to open the door, to bring your word to other people. We understand, Father, that when we do that, we may be met with scorn, derision. We understand that people, when challenged, often become self-defensive. When they are confused, when they are just seeking but find it so hard to admit that they might be wrong. We ask in this endeavor, Father, that you would give us the strength of patience, give us the boldness to go forth, to take not only those opportunities that are so easily seen and presented to us, but instead also to create opportunities. We know that we often shy away from bringing your word to other people because of feeling inadequate, not wishing to have a conflict, and sometimes, sadly, I think we are just sometimes horribly embarrassed to bring your word to other people, fearing what that reaction may be. Father, we ask for forgiveness for that embarrassment. We ask for forgiveness for our lack of boldness. And we pray that you would fortify us as we go forward, opening that door, carrying your word, realizing that we should be filled with such a joy to bring your word to other people, because it truly is a life-saving message. So when we have those moments of doubt and of hesitancy to bring up your word, to present it to other people, we ask that you help us always to remember that life-saving message. And no matter what scorn is heaped upon us, no matter what insults may be slurred, it pales, a drop in the bucket, to that which was suffered on our behalf. Fathers, we go forth this week. We ask that you be with us, watch over us. Help us to do your work. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to end our worship today, and I think going forward, at least for the rest of this year, whenever we have a song service, we're going to end the same way by reading this text here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, because it talks about the confidence that we have in our prayers. John says, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him."
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for bringing us all out this morning safely. We thank you, Father, for all the many blessings you've given us this week, the rain that we so badly needed, the sunshine. All things that are good come from you, and we thank you for those things and for just all the things we take for granted. You are there to give us all and provide us with everything we need. Father, we're so thankful for your Son and our Savior who died for us, that we could have this service today, that we could sing songs to your name and praises to your name, and that we could come to you in prayer, that you will hear our prayers. We thank you, Father, for the scriptures we read, for coming from your word that inspired by man, but from you. Father, we are so blessed in so many ways, and we ask you to continue to bless us. We pray for those this morning who are mentioned, Father, that those who are suffering from cancer. We pray that if it is your will, that you will heal them from that affliction. And if that would not be your will, that you would have mercy upon them, that you would put your loving hand upon them and comfort them, and that you will be with them and their families as they go through this time. And pray that, Father, they turn to you and call your name and ask for forgiveness from you, and so that when their time is no more on this earth, that you'll bring them home with you in heaven. Father, we pray for those who are having surgeries, that you'll be with the doctors and the surgeries will go well. We pray for those who are recovering from surgeries and those that might be sick and not with us today, that you will put your loving hand upon them and heal them, and so we can all gather again once again. Father, we pray for those who are not here this morning because they chose not to be, that something might be said or done that would soften their heart and would bring them back to worship with us once again and to seek you. Father, we pray that you will continue as each day, not only here today as we pray for these things, but that we pray every day in our own lives for those who need our prayers. And like the song we just heard, you will hear our call. And if it be your will, you will restore them. You will restore us. We pray mostly, Father, that you restore us to our faith, and that you will let us have a deep faith in you, that we will study your word, that we will call on you whenever we need to, but we will do your word and share it with others. We pray for those who are in hard places, as we've mentioned this morning, the brethren who are preaching all over the world. Please continue to be with them each and every day and their families. And Father, we just pray that you'll be with us this week, and when we have the opportunity to reach out to others, that we will do that, and that we will not be shy away from that, and that we will be bold about it and cause others to come to you before it's too late. Father, we thank you most of all for your Son who died for us, and we ask that you will be with us this week, keep us safe from harm, and bring us back the next appointed time. We ask it all in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.